Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and what? And in sins. You were what? Quickened. You were quickened. He has quickened you. So, you see, when we talk about to be born again is to be quickened. To be born again is what? It's to be quickened. Now, before you are quickened, your condition is called dead. Now, what that means is that you could not experience something. Do you understand that? You were cut off from something. You see, you didn't have the ability, the capacity to relate with the realms of God. You were cut off from it. You see, when he says dead here, he's not talking about not being alive. He's talking about you are incapacitated because you are in another world, you see. And your state in that world makes it impossible for you to experience the world of God. Do you understand that? That's what you see. When a man is not born again, he does not know what it means to be born again. Did you get that? When a man is not born again, in that state, he does not know what it means to be born again. That's why it can never be a decision to be born again. Because for you to decide a thing, you have to know what you are deciding for. You see, but when a man is not born again, he does not know what it means. So, as you are like this, if you have anyone who is not born again around you, the person does not know what you are experiencing. Do you understand? The person does not what? No. As the person does not have a dot of idea of what you're experiencing at all. You see, what the person thinks is that you are making efforts not to live in sin. You see, you are not a sinner. You don't sin. But the person does not really know what is going on inside you. And the person cannot feel. You see, when we talk of, you know, some weeks ago I've been talking about krazo, that divine connection, intimacy. That person does not have it. Cannot have it. So it says that you were dead in trespasses and what? And in sins. You were dead. You were living in another realm and in another world. You see, but this world makes it completely impossible for you to feel after God. You see. So, all your friends who are not saved do not really understand what you're experiencing. And sometimes when they call you a fool, they really genuinely think you are. Because they cannot really understand the rationale by which you are doing what you are doing and experiencing what you are experiencing. And why you are acting, you see, the way that you are acting. Have you ever seen people who are not saved when they go to a service where believers are? They look around. You know, when they see people crying, you see, the man who is not saved there is genuinely wondering, why are you crying? Who beat this one? Like he genuinely does not understand. So you see, to be saved is a real thing. It's not like a decision to be a good boy. It's a real thing that has happened to you. you were dead in trespass. You see, what you cry about, that you have, what you call, I have fallen. Maybe as a child of God, you sin and you said, oh Lord, that thing you feel. The person who is not saved, you see, what makes you cry is a testimony for the man who is not saved. He will go back to his unsaved complaint and say, wow, God don't do that for me. I don't finally get that girl. It's a testimony for him. Are we together here? Are we here, friends?
Yes, sir.
So to be saved is it that's why when we have a real church, when we have a real church, Pastor Toby, a real one, we will not beg people to come for Bible study. A real church. Real church. I'm not talking of a fine church. Like, real saved people don't miss Bible study. Yeah. Do you understand that? Real what?
Saved people.
Real saved people. What happens to them? They don't miss Bible study. You see, it's not because, like, I don't know. Have you eaten today? Huh? Who taught you? Huh? What are the things you have eaten today? Spag. What time do you eat a spag? 3 in the afternoon. All right. What else have you eaten today? Biscuit. How many biscuit? 3. Wow. What else have you eaten today? Try and remember. Water. Have you taken water today? Have you taken any drink today? What drink? Juice. Which one? A whole pack. You shared it with both of you. All right. You finished. You get both of you finished A O1. Eh? 3 of you finished A O1. You down it. Did you remove the head after? Dami, have you eaten today? How many times? Eh? He said just twice. When did you have the first one? What did you eat? When did you eat again? When you went to gauge your tire, you ate there.
No, I had rum yum and
gala. Bottle of Coke. That's the only thing you've eaten today. That's all. Have you eaten today? What did you eat today? All right. That's all you have eaten today. You took cereal when you went home. What of Loretta? Have you eaten? What did you eat today? Chocolate drink around 1. Banga and Eba. Around 4. What else have you eaten today? Water. Did you come? You didn't come for today's meeting, the leaders' meeting today. You are not there. Praise God. Why are you not in the leaders' meeting? You are not aware. All right. Please let Loretta be aware of all our leaders' meeting. So, you will see that none of them, are you together with me? There was none of them that went to a conference to learn how to eat. Did you notice that? And none of them was beaten to eat. You see, one of the signs that they are still alive is that they are eating. So, you see, when you are saved, there will be a need to always eat, even spiritual food. You see, those who don't have that need, are not saved, most likely. Maybe they are just members of a church. But one of the signs of salvation is that you are quickened to another world. And that world also, there is a need for food. So you always say, how many of you feel like your life is destroying when you notice that you are no longer praying? Like you'll be having fear. Like you just say, You are alone, but you are just feeling, You know, this evening I was struggling to pray in the office. So I quickly came downstairs to join the prayers because I said, this is a very dangerous thing. I wanted to pray. I wasn't feeling like praying. So I said, let me come and use, you know, the corporate prayer to pray. That's why I came to pray. So when, you see, when you are saved, you are like alive to another world. Are we together here? You are quickened. You see, that's why there is usually trouble when you have people who are close to you but are not saved. You know, one of the most difficult things is to manage relationship with unsaved people. It's a very tough thing because they cannot rationalize how you are behaving. And the difficult thing is that you cannot, before you start the explanation, you already see failure in doing this. You just know that, where are we going to start from? It's a tough thing. When you want to even explain why you are doing what you are doing, it's a very tough thing. You know, you just have to look for generic lines and just apologize when you don't really mean it because you just want to create peace. But really, sometimes, they ask questions, you see, to give you an opportunity to be a better person. They can say, what are you saying? So you mean that all those your pastors are more important than us? Now, that question is an opportunity for you to say, no. But actually, if you want to now respond from the Bible, you will say what we cause more trouble. You will now say, it's not really like that. Are you with me? Yes. That's why Jesus Christ told us that, you see, when you receive him, you will most likely have problem with your father, your mother. Yeah, give me that verse of scripture. It's not because they are bad people. They are amazing people. It's just, we're talking about the principles that govern our life. But it's not, it's beyond the principle. It's the reality that you see, the fish cannot rationalize your need for umbrella. Do you understand? Like the fish cannot really understand why you spent your last money to buy umbrella because it's rainy season. The fish is shocked. How do you start the explanation for the fish that you need umbrella? It's a tough thing. Almost an impossible thing. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. Now, if he has not come to send peace, what has he come to send? I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance. You know, this doesn't look like what Jesus will say. And this doesn't look like what some pastors will say. I came not to send peace but a sword, for I am come to set a man, you see, at variance against his father, the daughter, against a mother and the daughter-in-law. Against, you see, because the mother-in-law will bring soap for the daughter-in-law. An agbo. To use to bathe. You see, so that she can have a child. And she'll tell her, Ele onse adobabalawo. You know, from church. And you see, she has gone to do it because she loves the daughter-in-law. Then the daughter-in-law, and then she, it's possible she spent all her money to get that thing done. Then when she gives the daughter-in-law, like, she'll come to the house. The daughter-in-law is in the room praying. Then the Holy Spirit would have told daughter-in-law, your mother-in-law is bringing something to you today. Make sure you don't collect it. So when she comes out from the room, she greets the mother and says, and the mother gist her with her and say, Mogbe agbo iwa fun e mo de gbe ose iwa fun e. Wo in 1 year, what if you kun wa fi gbo mo wa fe yin, you know, what does she say that in? Then the mother on us, amo me ma binu awa o kin lo a n lo oro awon ose yi a de se oje wa le mi bayi mo fe pa. You see, the variance has started against the daughter-in-law. Eh? And the what? You see, but the foolish Christian will use it and say that it's because he wants peace. But he does not know that this peace, your Savior does not want it. Because your Savior is telling you that I have come so that the reason I came is I don't want peace. What do I want? You see, let it calm down. You see, when a child of God wants the peace of this world, it will offend God. Yeah. Jesus Christ said that he gives us peace, but his peace is not like the one the world gives. Our peace is a different peace. Are we together, friends? Yeah. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You see, because men don't really have troubles. It's the women that like wahala sometimes. You see, and a man's foes shall be they of his household, of his own household. Are you with me? Yes, so what did I say? I said, why did I come to scripture? I said, when you are saved, one of the most difficult relationships to manage are the relationships of those who are unsaved, but are very close to you. It's a tough thing to manage. And the level of cowardice amongst God's people is at an alarming rate. Yeah. The level of cowardice is what? I'm telling you, they are tongue-talking believers who are still following their parents to fake white garment prophets. I'm telling you, even in this church. Yeah. You see? Even though you are saved, but your salvation has become the lowest volume in your soul. I tell you the truth. There are believers here who, you know, those days, there used to be testimonies of people losing jobs because they refused to take bribes or to give bribes. But in these days, people are using wisdom. There is a word. Wisdom. Let's go back to our main scripture. The level of cowardice is very alarming. Very alarming. And not just amongst believers, even amongst even amongst even leaders, I mean pastors and all of that, the level of cowardice is alarming. Praise God. Have you noticed, you can, for example, in a unit now, they might have a stubborn member. Let's say this unit has a stubborn member. Two stubborn Christians. Have you noticed that most of the leaders would tell the gentle child of, the good child of God, and tell him to understand the naughty one, and tell that one to be a bigger one, and say, you know, just have a large heart. You see, but the stubborn one, everybody will be afraid to confront. Behind the stubborn one, they will say, ah, which is stubborn Jew. But before the stubborn one, you see, sometimes I find out that when you want to be a bad person, be very bad. Because if you are very bad, people will, there's a kind of respect they will have for you. But actually, what Paul teaches is that sometimes you should even rebuke stubborn people openly. Yeah, and say, this thing that you are doing is wrong. But we have embraced cowardice. Even some husbands cannot confront their wives. Yes. Some husbands will go and cry in one corner because they cannot confront their wife, because their wives have become full manipulators. Yes. There are a lot of Christian women who are manipulators, meaning that immediately your husband wants to say you are doing something wrong, you turn everything around. You scatter everything. Everything will scatter. We wouldn't know what is wrong, what is going on again. You see, then the men, because of that, are afraid to confront anything. They just go in silence. You see, but you are meant to confront. You see, allow the demon and the spirit that is causing that madness. Confront it. Let it shake. Let it scream. Let it do everything it wants to do. Look at it like this. And say, all right, can we continue what we're talking about? You need to say what has to be said, regardless of how your wife will react. Say it with love, say it, but you must say what needs to be said. You can even ask the wife, so please, can you tell me the time you are ready to hear what I have to say? Then after you say it, she might give you attitude. She's not. You will now make her still do the right thing. You say, well, we're finished speaking, so it's time for you to get the food for the family to eat. Would you please bring the food so that we can eat? Yeah, that's what you call a man. You have to, in love, say what needs to be said, because God is going to hold you responsible for that family. But if you think you are afraid, there are many men, like I tell you, they might be tall. But they are really afraid. And their wife might be like this, but they're afraid. They are afraid of their wives. You see? But that's not the peace of God. And so it looks like there's peace in the home, but it's not the peace of God. You understand? You are accommodating devils in your home. You need to say what needs to be said, and you need to hear. You say what needs to be. As a man, you need to hear. Let the other party speak. Hear. Some men are also like that. They cannot hear. They cannot hear the truth. It's not just a woman. They cannot hear. You see, if you allow your wife to tell you her mind, it's very tough, but you have to. Sometimes you sit down and let your wife talk for 1 hour. Yeah, I used to listen to my wife for 1 hour. How do I know? I check the time. And I'm not even exaggerating at all. I check the time. And the demon around me would be doing like I should. But I would suppress it and keep listening and keep listening and keep listening. And after I've listened well, I pick the truth that I'm told. And I repent. And when I don't feel like I should repent, I will tell you that I'm on this matter, I don't think I should repent. It's not, I don't think that it's wrong. I trust the Holy Spirit to reveal to me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. And if you think I'm wrong and I'm not seeing it, you can peace escalate to these lines. You can call these lines. And for, yes, now if the symptom persists. Is that not what the advertiser said? He said, if you have headache, you price them more. But if the symptom persists, you call the doctor. So these are the numbers you can call for further inquiries. May the Lord deliver us from cowardice. Yeah. Let's go back to our main scripture. All right, we're there already. We need to be free from, what did I call it? Cowardice. We need to be what? Free from cowardice. It's a very important thing. Jesus Christ said that if you deny me before men, I'm also going to deny you before my Father. What will make people deny people before men, deny Jesus before men? It's because of fear of men. Yeah. Huh? I tell you the truth. Do you know people having and expressing opinions that are not their opinions, but because they are afraid, they have to express the opinion? You know, there are many press statements that the church releases that the church does not mean it. But it's like if we don't talk, they will say we don't talk. I tell you the truth. We have to be free from cowardice. You see, but the way, are you with me? The way to be free from cowardice is to live in this new reality of the fact that we have been quickened. You see, we have what? We have been quickened. And then your lifestyle is, and your worldview is definitely different from those who are dead in sin. And you see, some of the matters that are ongoing are matters of those who are dead in sin and trespasses. We need, you see, to live in that state of being quickened. It is our world. It's our world. I keep wondering, do you know that the after death here, when you die here, do you know that you are either going to heaven or hell? Eh? Where? Heaven or hell? Now, how many weeks will you spend in heaven or hell? Don't you think that the most important thing for everyone who is still alive is to make sure. Eh? Are you with me? Yes, is to make sure that they get to heaven. Don't you think so? Yes, it's because the thing shocks me sometimes. The way people live as though. You don't get. If a lot of us right now are already like in. We have spent maybe 40%, 30% of all the time we will spend in this earth. You see, this earth is so, you know, I was in the room today and I was just thinking of how fickle. I'm telling you. It is deception to think there is anything, a major thing here. You see, even in ministry, self. All the prophets, you know, I saw a picture of a particular pastor, an old pastor that did well. The picture is so black and white that it looks like a painting. I don't even know whether it's real or something. Like that work has... You are the only one taking yourself this serious. After a while, your body will be manure. I tell you. See, if you never achieve anything on this earth, let's assume that never happens, and you die, and you find out, and you appear before God in heaven, I tell you, you will not wish you bought a car on earth. You will not be before God and say, Kai, I didn't buy a car on earth. I'm saying that our time here is so... The importance we put on it is a lie. I tell you the truth. It's a lie. Listen, there are boys in the village who don't have all the clothes you have in your wardrobe. And I tell you, they laugh more than you. There are girls... You see, all those Kenya people who have destroyed their lips and put one round thing, is you that I think is paining them. They are enjoying their life. And the only reason why you are not like that is not because you are smarter. It's not because you were not born there. You too, your name could have been maybe Tukboktu or... I'm telling you, could have just been there. I tell you the truth. It's possible you are there, you are a guest, maybe... You know, I was watching one documentary of when you have a guest, you use the women in your house to welcome the guest. Like, it's not like a fornication or something. You just welcome the guest. You can just be there. Your name is maybe Timbana or Timbala. You are just here because heaven ordained you to be here. It's not like a choice you made. I tell you the truth. You see? But we are lied to that there is something significant about you. You see, one significant thing that when you become, the angels will be wowed. Like, what? So this guy is a project manager like this. I tell you the truth, friends. We take ourselves too seriously and we deceive ourselves. I tell you the truth. You have been quickened to another world. You see, the world of God. And that world is really inside you. You see? And that world there, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Is your contact with God. You see, when you are saved, what we are saying is that you now have contact with God. Except a man... You see, is born again. He does not have the ability. Are you with me? He does not have the ability to see the kingdom of God. He does not have the ability. Now, except he is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter it. You see, the reason why it's important to be born again is because your natural life is a worthless one. Yes. It's invalid. That is what is called trespasses and sin. You see? It's an invalid life. You see, but the challenge is that because of how the church has fallen many times, is that when people get saved, their focus is still on the reward of the life of trespass and sin. Like they are unable to imagine a world outside the fallen one. You see, what a shame. I tell you, what we are doing is to pour urine inside a golden bottle. And assume that the urine is the treasure. You know what I'm trying to say? Is that you have a kind of life that there is nothing in your previous life that can be a reward for the new life you have. You see, if anything can be a reward for the new life you have, then there is no reason for those who already have it without having the new life to be saved. You didn't get the point. Did you hear what I said? If reward that is in the realm of your former life is still your reward now that you have new life, then those who already have it, we should not preach to them. You can't be preaching to people whose current life is your prayer point. You can't be preaching to people whose current life is your prayer point. You're saying, Lord, Lord, when are you going to bless me? And what you are asking for is what the person who is not saved has. Then why are you preaching to him when what he has is your hope? He's already in your future. He's already in everything you are trusting God for. So why are you praying? Why are you saying he should be saved? So he should be saved for what? What will he now? What will be his own prayer point now? You see, that's why sometimes when I investigate the reason of your sorrow, I can understand how fallen you are falling. The height of your fall. Because your sorrow is proof of your hope. You see? One of the things Paul was groaning about was that mortality will be swallowed up by... Like that's when Paul is sad. If you ask Paul, why are you sad? He says, Kai, when will this mortality be swallowed up by life, by immortality, which is the complete overhaul and overtake of his natural estate by divine life. Now, that one, no matter the billions you have, you can't access that one. Are you with me, friends? You see, what I'm talking about is the reason why the church many times has the need to bring senior executives that are not saved to preach to us. Because that is the hope of everybody. So we need to get one who is not saved. You see, the world there, they should be collecting royalty from us because we really like them. And it's as though they are doing more for us than we are doing for them. Because it's their comedians we want. Everything they have is what we want. You see? And so they know that we are not really preaching to them because it's not like they are shining the light. Ah, la, la. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we will be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. That immortality would swallow up mortality. Are you with me? Are you with me? See, if your hope is earthly, though alive, you are living like a dead person. I tell you the truth. Though alive, you are still living like a dead person. You have forgotten from whence you've been saved and from what you've been delivered. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Come, sit down here, Shalom. That's why after salvation, there is a need for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You see? And for the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know what those two things represent? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is like a refrigerator. You know what refrigerator is to natural life? It's like refrigerator helps you to keep what you have. You see, you cannot... Refrigerator does not produce anything. It's not like because you have refrigerator, you now have food. Sometimes we go to refrigerator by faith, but... Sometimes you just leave where you are. You are just trusting God that when I get there, Oh Lord, my God, let there be something. But you open the refrigerator, and then the refrigerator calmly looks at you like, why don't you go and sit down now? Did you put anything here? So you see, it's what you put in the refrigerator. But the refrigerator will do something for you. See, one of the things I like to put in my refrigerator is suya. I like suya in refrigerator. There's a way it just keeps it. That when you take it out and put it in the microwave, it gives you another feeling. So sometimes when I buy suya, you see, last week I bought suya. I went to see someone. I bought suya. So I bought two. So I put one in the car. So I took the other one into the person's house. You see, then both of us ate that one. I tell you, I'm teaching you wisdom here. I bought two. You see, I still got the accolade of being a good person. So I kept one in the car. Then I took the other one like a good visitor. I said, Muras, we are well. You know, and then we ate it together. We had fun. So when I was now leaving, I had issues with the car I went with. So I had to change car. So they gave me their car to go with. So I took my suya, I transferred it into the new car. So when the new car got to the gate, they called me that my car is now functioning. So they now brought my car to me. So I forgot my suya in that. So the next day, I asked the people in the house, did anybody see any suya? So I went to, I was trying to create an imagination. You see, that I took the suya and I put it in the fridge. Like I created the scene in my mind. I said, no, Murati now. We'll be seeing the fridge. But I did not see it in the fridge. So I said, let me quickly call the people so that they can keep it and have and eat it. But whether I forgot or whether I thought that, I don't know which of the two, but I acted like I forgot. But it's not like I forgot. I think it's the pain that made me not to call them to say they're suya in that car. But you see, the fridge is what you put inside it. So you see, God knows what he gave us. And he knows where he has placed us. It's a bad place. The earth is a bad place. So he has hid what he has given us in the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost becomes the controller of the temperature by which we live. You see, it's our refrigerator. Then he gave us fire. The fire is the electricity. So that the refrigerator can always charge. That's why without the fire of the Holy Spirit, you will go back to your sin and trespasses. You see. When there is no, that's why it's not good for a church to be without fire. We would go back to our sins. You see, sin and trespass is not fornication. Sin and trespass is a dull heart. It's worldliness. Sin and trespass is just summarizing life to having money. That is sin and trespass. You see, the inability, you see, a lot of us, the basis of our communication with God is always you talking to God. You see, one of the signs that a man has fallen is that he will be the one talking to God. Yeah. When you find that you are the one always talking to God, you are in trouble. Because actually, your soul and your heart is for receiving from God. If God cannot share burden with you, it's because you are not in the same room with him. So the life of a man, are you with me, friends? Yes, sir. You see, the life of a man is meant to be, you see, a depot of divine burdens. Your life is useless when it's lived for yourself. When you are using your life to live for yourself, you are a useless person in the eye of heaven. When heaven is not finding you as a channel, you see, for the money, for the execution of divine will, there are a lot of things God wants to route and do through you. You see, but you are living as one that is dead in sin and trespass. You see. Are we together here? And you has he quickened. What a glorious God. You see, I'm grateful that I'm quickened. I'm grateful to God. Are you not grateful to God? I'm grateful to God. I'm not living the American dream or the Nigerian dream. I'm just grateful that I'm quickened. Oh my God. What a great thing to be quickened. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that when God is doing anything upon the face of the earth, he counts me worthy to talk to me about it. You know, last week, after I had finished the whole day, I was about to sleep. The last thing I wanted to do was to sleep. So I dressed for sleep. I was about placing my legs, taking my last step that would get me to hit the bed. And then the Lord spoke to me. And he said, pray. And he mentioned one of my old friends. He said, pray for her. I said, I'm tired now. So I prayed, but I didn't pray very well. I just prayed. After praying, I said, Lord, I hope this prayer is not what will save this girl, because I don't know if it's what will save her from a crisis. I'm sorry. It's like she might die because I prayed, but I wasn't sure if I prayed well enough. I haven't talked to this person in maybe in over a year or thereabout. I woke up around 5 a.m., 6 a.m. Guess what? This person was the first person to send me a message. If I saw the person miss call, fear caught me. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. What happened? So I called the person. Because I don't really... Let me not say that one. So I called the person. So the person was surprised that I called the person back. So I said, I have to call you back because I was praying for you in the night. And the person was shocked. The previous day, the person, at that time when God was speaking to me, God was giving the person a major visitation. A major visitation, very strange visitation. And God told the person to call me to explain the visitation. Yeah. And I said, it's genuine. This is what I was praying about. This is what the Lord told me the night before. But you see, I'm happy that I'm part of heaven's business. That you get the point now. Now, but if you are living in trespasses and sin, you see, you will not be part of what God is doing. Now, you will think you are blessed, but you are poor. You see, because riches is not in dollars or pounds. You see, riches is there traffic between you and heaven? Is there traffic? That's real riches. And if you have real riches, you are going to have the fake one. Yes. 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 You cannot get your walk with God right and be poor. Poverty is a demonic oppression. Don't you know? You see, poverty is not just that. It's lack. Poverty is Satan having victory. If you don't see poverty like that, you'll be poor. If you think poverty is just, I don't have money, you are in trouble. Listen, you must hate. Listen, the way you must see poverty like cancer. Don't joke with poverty. That's right. No matter what's in your bank account, you must not live like what's in your bank account. You see, you must live in a way where people will be asking you for help. Don't accommodate poverty at all. Don't be. If you are nice with poverty, you will be poor, because it's a stubborn devil.
That's why for me, anything I do, no matter how low the thing is, I look for the poor man's version, the rich man's version. If I'm doing a poor thing, I look for the rich man's version. If I want to buy anything, I'll say, which one will make me look wealthy? It might be the center. I'll say, let's go for this one. Because I need to rewire my brain. You understand?
Yes, sir.
I need to rewire my brain. My brain must not be comfortable with poverty. Me, I don't go out to people and I'm waiting for who to pay. No. No, I pay. When I have 4K left in all money I have in my bank account, that's all I have. If I'm going out, I will give the gate man 1K like a big man, because the gate man must see me as a big man. You see, it's not that I need him to see me as a big man. That's not my point. My point is, I must act wealthy. I will not wait for money to be wealthy. God forbid. God forbid. I must not remember that I'm poor. I must not be aware. You better cut your meat into three so that you can take three meat. If you joke with poverty, you are finished.
Yeah.
Don't play with poverty. Oh. Don't play with, when you see somebody maybe driving something big, don't say, Bob, don't you know, you are cursing yourself. Oh. Yeah. Or you hear somebody bought a shoe of 1 million, say, God forbid. How can they buy a shoe of 1 million? Sure. I'm telling you, poverty, there's no different. Poverty is demons that is trying to poverty. It's poverty. So don't see poverty as all I'm doing is serving the Lord. It doesn't matter. It matters. It's activity of devils. So that's why you are dealing with it first from a spirit. When people come to your house, don't hide food, though. And say, this is what I will eat in the night. You're already destroying your life, though. You must serve your guests as though you are sure of what you will eat in the night. So that the demon will wonder, she got you monkey more around me. I'm telling you the fact. Don't allow the demon of poverty to be comfortable around you, because poverty has a lifestyle. If you refuse the lifestyle, you won't be poor again. Yeah. Refuse it too. You can never know what I have or what I don't have. You can never. Because the way I will walk, safe. The way I will move, safe. You cannot. I'm not aware. I'm not aware. It's when I check the account, I say, Bobo, you come and so on. I'm not aware. And when I'm around people who are very wealthy, I've never asked them for money for once. Never. That's how poor people do. Poor people always take advantage. Because they're aware of lack. So anytime they see abundance, they don't think fellowship. They think gathering. But in a wealthy place, I've shared it with you severally. When you go to your friend's house who are wealthy, your uncle, your cousin, you go there, you see the freezer, the fridge, full. You go back in the afternoon, it's still full. 3-4 apples are there. You went back in the night, the 4 apples are still there. And you are wondering, what's going on here? Is it like... You see the Milo on the table. The Milo is still there. You are wondering, what's going on here? Like... Then you now go, you pack, you take what you don't need. You take it, then you have constipation, you will survive. You see, because when the wealthy have those things, they don't see it as opportunity. They keep fellowshipping, meaning that fellowshipping is more important than gathering. You see, anything that you have to quickly gather is not your own.
Yeah.
It's not your, anything you have to quickly gather. It's not your own. You see, that is the character of thieves. The way you pick your phone is different from the way a thief will pick it. If it's your phone, you see, you can leave it in one place in your house. You will go. You will come back. But a thief... So anytime you are somewhere and all you want to do is to grab from people, you are going to be sent away because you have told those people that you are a thief. So you must allow people's things to be safe around you. So sometimes God will give you friends who are billionaires, millionaires. That's not the time to invent problem. So, you know, actually... I'm going to go through. No. When you are okay fellowshipping in the midst of plenty, you are rewriting your story.
Yes.
Yeah, you're rewriting your story. So I don't want you, that just by the way, I don't want you to play around poverty. We're still on this verse, Abby. So you see, come. So if you were by yourself living your life, then the mercy of God quickened you. If you were okay before, why do you think you are now quickened? The reason why you are quickened is because you were not okay. You see? So now that we have been quickened, we can't go back to being not okay. We have to now investigate and prosper and go deep in the dimension of the things that we have been quickened onto. You see? So your purpose can no longer be what you were quickened from. Your purpose is now locked up in what you were quickened in. Are we together here? That the Jew will always tell us of how he wanted to be the youngest VC or youngest professor of mathematics. That was his dream when he was not quickened. You see, now that he's quickened there, he can't pursue that one again. That one can no longer be purpose for living. You see, he's been quickened. There's a higher purpose. There's a higher purpose. This is the reason why we don't have missionaries, though. Because they are dead in sin and trespasses. It's not like God does not want to send people to Sudan. But you can't hear. Because you are pursuing something else. You are dead. You know, I see you living your life as one who is quickened.
Yes.
Oh. See, and that dimension of you is a billionaire. That dimension of you is a what? Is a billionaire. My mentor was sharing with me one meeting he attended, and Bishop was preaching. Bishop said, when we started, we were preaching prosperity by faith. We were preaching prosperity by faith. Prosperity by faith. He said, that was all we knew. He said, but now we do not preach prosperity by faith. It's now prosperity by glory. He said, that glory brings it. He said, all you need to do is to walk in the light. We walk in the light, and it's coming. The man said, the last time I entered the bank is 1989. He said, you don't go there. When you don't need a loan, it's those who need a loan that go there. When you have something there, they come to you. He said, the last time I stepped my feet in the bank is 1989. He said, oh, and 19, I mentioned 1994. And when I went to a bank in 1999 or something, he said, I told the person that this is the second time I mentioned a bank. And that second time was to pray for the bank that was opening up. It was to bless a new bank. So even, are you with me? Even the things you are pursuing in trespass and sin, there is the glory version of it. If you heard what I said, you would have heard what I said. There is a glory, and that's why I told you that you, as you follow the Lord, you'll be a billionaire. The Lord is calling us into a serious walk with Him. Yes. Yes. The Lord God, who I serve, who has called me, is telling me that He is calling us into a walk, a serious walk with Him, because this God wants to do wonders with us. And there is one reason why He has chosen us. He said, as I'm talking, like He's speaking to me as I'm talking to you guys, He said, there is a reason why I've chosen you guys. He said, because you are ordinary. Yes. You see, that's one of the things God likes about this church. The ordinariness with which we have organized ourselves. Easily to be despised. Yeah. And we're going to maintain it that way. And we're going to go lower. So that the people can despise us. Until they see the glory burst out. Yes. But we need to be free from a life of what? Sin and treasure. Now, let's look at the next verse. It says, wherein in time past ye what? Walked. Can you see? You walked according to what? To the curse of this world. So this world has a curse. It has a path. Now, the challenge is that sometimes, many times, a lot of times, even the church has incorporated the curse of this world into our syllabus. That's the challenge. The curse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, you see, that works. Let's do new KJV. Let's never do old KJV. Let's never do it again. Maybe you just delete it. I don't think it's good. In the sense that why would we be in 2023 and we are still stuck with the English of Shakespeare? I don't think it really makes a lot of... In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. So there is a spirit. You see, there is a prince. That's why, are you together with me?
Yes,
that's why if you are pursuing worldly acceptance, you are submitting yourself, you see, to the prince of this world. Are you together with me?
Yes,
see, it's a good thing that you are different. It's a godly thing. We must begin to take pleasure and the fact that we are seen as different. You see, we should not see it as a bad thing. I personally feel like one basic discernment posture is to just, before God talks to you, say, find out what everybody is saying and just go different direction. I just mean, you don't even need, it's like you don't even need to hear God. You just find out, what does Twitter think? Oh, Twitter think this. Nah, this definitely must be the right thing. I tell you, that's the devil's app. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes,
not the apple. It's not the app that is devil's. I'm talking about the spirit that is at work there. Oh, my God. You see, when there is erred thinking, H-E-R-D, when there is erred thinking, there is a prince at work. There is a demon at work. You see, the spirit that makes you not to listen to another person can never be the spirit of God. Because the wisdom of God is first of all peaceable. The Bible says love does not insist on its own. You see, anything that blocks you from hearing, that you don't want to hear a different thing, it's a demonic thing. It's unnatural. In which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works, you see, in the sons of disobedience. So you see, the sons, there is a spirit there that is dictating our beliefs. I mean in the world, not our own in the church. There is a spirit. The spirit is saying, tells us who is successful, who is not successful, you know, how to live, how not to live. There's a spirit. There's a spirit of disobedience. The power of the air. You see? When you want to marry, maybe you're a man of God sent into full-time ministry, I want to marry, and people don't want maybe your father, the lady's father doesn't want her daughter to marry a servant of God. A genuine one, not a fake one. You see, it's a spirit that makes them feel like a servant of God. Why? Because they're thinking, with this hand of God, you will suffer. You see, it's a spirit. That's why even some of you here, somewhere you have vowed you'll never marry a pastor. You don't know it's a spirit. You don't understand. It's a demon. The prince of the power of the air. Because if you marry a pastor, it's a privilege. Yeah, if you marry somebody in the ministry, you see, but you are operating according to the course of this world. You see, the spirit of comfort, you are saying, I'll marry pastor. When I not marry pastor, we will not have time for me. I don't want to marry pastor. I just want someone who loves God. Let us be serving our God. You see, the spirit, the reason why you want to be serving your God and enjoying your life is the prince of the power of the air. You see, you are walking according to the course of this world. You are a worldly person. You see, you do not count it a privilege, you see, to be lost for the Lord. You do not count it a privilege to sacrifice your life for Jesus. That thing that is wanting you to keep your life for yourself so that you and your husband will wear and co. You see, and come down from Jeep. You know, most of you will sit down side by side on the chair and just take pictures and selfie and say, what a great Sunday. Then both of you go back. Then from there you go to Marriott and have lunch and live life. You see, you once walked according what? To the course of this world. Read it again. According to what? To the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. In the sons of the spirit. Now you are born again, but you are still walking. You see, are you together with me? Why? Because you are not carrying the burdens of the Lord. You know what? That's why it is not a right thing, that the pastor of a church should be the one in the ministry, whereas the members just come to receive. No, it's a very bad thing. Every member should be in the ministry. You should be where? You should be in the ministry. You should have a passion, a burden for the things of God. You should be screaming, God, send me. God, anoint me. You see, not to the pulpit, not to the altar, but God, just route glory through me. It should be your passion. It should be your desire. There are souls you should be wailing over. Now, do you know that somebody can be called into ministry and he's still operating according to the prince of the power of the air? Yes. And the person working in a bank is more surrendered to the will of God than the one preaching. Yes. Yes. So I'm not asking you, when I say ministry, I'm not talking about preaching. I'm talking of a life that is given like an offering to the Lord. Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, friends, I see the fire already. I'm telling you, as I'm preaching, Laulu, I can see that fire. I see that fire. That fire is hitting our generation. I tell you the truth. The reason why we have employed worldly tactics to grow churches is because of lack of this fire. You see, when you carry this fire, you will convict the person living for pleasure. Your life will convict. One day you will be at work and somebody will just start crying and say, "Ah, she be like me, mama, because he's just seen and he see you live for something else." You see, there's a particular church that plants, that do a lot of missions. In that church, as a worker of that church, what they do is that they rotate their leave for mission work. So when this one takes leave, he's going to the field, to the church they have planted, to the church they have planted. So that one will be there for like 21 days. So when he's leaving, another set have taken their leave to go and continue. Now, it is with those people you are going to share heaven with. You will share heaven with those people. You see, may your head not be crownless. You need to check out from this world. You check out from this world. You need to sign out from this place and live for that which we're quickened unto. You see. Let me open one last scripture and that will be good for the day. Just come and sing one song for me. I don't know. Just sing any song from your spirit. Just make a sound for me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My Kabiasha. Oh, yes, Lord. Hey, yes, Lord. My God, Beshana Masiala Bashanaka. The will of my Father. The will of my Father. The will. Yes, Lord. So I run, 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 run.
Run, 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 I run, 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 run. Run, 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 I run, 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 run. Run, 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 I run. So I run, 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 run. Run, 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 I run, run. Run, run. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that, in 6:19, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. You see, what's he saying? He's saying, don't see the earth, you see, as a special place. Let the earth not be the place of your primary investment. That's what he's saying. He says, do not lay treasures on the earth. You see, the earth is not where you lay your treasure. It's not your major business center. You see that? He says, because moth wrath doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So it means that the earth is a fallen place, and it's not a place worthy of our hearts. Yeah, because the next verse, he said that, but lay up treasures, live up for yourself treasures in heaven. He's talking about live in the quickening. Focus on the quickening, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, right? For where your treasure is. So what's treasure? Treasure is equals to art. That's what he's saying. So when he says don't lay up treasure, he's saying don't put your heart on this earth. Everything on the earth. Don't put your heart in money. Don't put your heart in fame. Don't put your heart in success. Don't put your heart in marriage. Don't put your heart on the earth. Put your heart in heaven. You see? Don't. Jesus says don't do that. Why? He says because the light of the body is the eye. You see? The light of the body is the eye. There are three things that have been used for heart here. Treasure, heart, and eye. They are all the same thing. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good. Now, what's a good eye? A good eye is the eye that is focused on heaven or on the quickened dimension. He says, if your eye is good, he says your body will be full of life. So with a good heart focused on heaven, we will have a life governed by the light of heaven. Yeah. So it means that God is saying, I want to take over your space. Are you with me? So God is saying, I want to be in charge of everything. And it's not by focusing on everything. It's by you taking your heart, put it on me, put it on my things. Then I will introduce a type of light that is a governing light. You will be full of it. It will govern every area of your life. He says, when your eye is good, your whole body, everything concerning you, there will be nowhere in your life where it won't be governed by light. Your finances will be governed by light. Your marriage is governed by light. Now, not because you focused on the finance, but because you put your heart on God. God says, I will put my light on you. Give me your heart, and I will give you my light. Give me your heart. I will put my light on you. I will put my light on your marriage. I will put my light on your business. I will put my light on everything. You see, that way, the thieves cannot break in. The thieves will not be able to steal it because it has been godified.
your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in you, you see, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If your eye is bad, if you don't focus on the Lord, what will happen? Your whole body. So every area of your life, darkness will enter. It means darkness will enter your marriage. Darkness will enter your finances. The things you now do will no longer mirror God. It will now mirror the world and mirror the enemy. You might be speaking in tongues, but the works of your hands do no longer look like heaven, because your heart is no longer single. Your heart is not good. He says your whole body will be full of darkness. He says, if therefore the light that is in you. So listen, if your eye is bad, then it's your whole body. That's every area of your life will be full of darkness. But that's not the end game. The end game is that darkness will now become the light in you. Yeah. That darkness will now turn to, so it will not only corrupt the things around you, it will now corrupt your very soul completely. In a point where you are wearing God's uniform, but you are serving Satan. Yeah. It says, how great is that darkness? So you see, it's a big deal. The level of destruction going on when you are not focusing on Jesus is huge. It's not a small thing. But tonight, once again, we'll receive the fire of purification.
Amen.
The fire that puts us back to the altar of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not my own. I'm not my own. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I am not my own. I am not my own. I am not my own. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I am not my own. I am not my own. I am not my own. I don't own myself. Gently sing. I am not my own. That's it. I am not my own. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I am not. Do you own yourself? Sing now.
I am not my own.
Hey. This life is not my own. This life is not my own. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I am not my own. This life is not my own. I tell you, it is not my own. I've been bought. Oh, yeah, lift up your hands. Say, I am not my own.
I am not my own.
I have been bought. Oh. Everybody, surrender. Lift up your hand. Surrender to the owner of the life. Come on. No, 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 no. I have been bought. Oh. Not my own. Oh, not my own, no. I am quickened by the life of Jesus. I am not my own. I am not my own. I have been bought. I am not my own. I am not my own. I am not my own. I have been bought.
am not my own. Not my own. I am quickened by the life of Jesus. I am not my own. I am not my own. I am not my. I have been quickened, though. I'll be quickened by the life of Jesus. I am. Oh, yeah, shout. I am not my own. You are not your own. Oh. You are quickened. You are quickened. Quickened. Oh, yeah, shout. I am not my own. No, 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 no. I am quickened, though. Lift up your hands. I am quickened. I am quickened. I am quickened. I am quickened. Say, I am quickened. Oh, yeah, say it. Say it. Oh, yeah, say it. Are you quickened? No longer dead. No longer dead. Not dead in sin. Not dead in trespasses. Quickened. Are you quickened? Are you quickened? Say quickened. Are you quickened? Are you quickened? You have come alive. You are no more dead. Oh, I am quickened. 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 Zach is quickened. I am quickened. I am quickened. I am quickened. Hey, quickened. Oh, yes, I'm quickened. I am not my own. Asharadila basekebia. I am quickened, oh. I am not my own, oh. I am not my own, oh. I am quickened, oh. Yeah, 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 yeah. I wish I can hear you say, I am not my own. Not my own. I've been bought. I've been bought. I am quickened. I am quickened. I am quickened. I am quickened. Say, I am quickened. Are you quickened? Are you quickened? Not dead anymore. Not dead in sin. Not dead in trespass. Oh, quickened. Call me quickened. I am that quickened. So quickened. Quick, quickened. I am quickened. Ah, sir. I've been bought. I am not my own. Yeah, 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 yeah. I've been bought, I've been bought. I am not my own, no. I don't own myself, oh, yeah. And I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Pray for you. Let the Spirit of God, let the glory of God, let it take hold of your heart. Amen. Let it take hold of your soul. Amen. Let it tie you to the altar. Amen. Let it tie you. Let it tie you. Amen. Let that fire that preserves, that fire that keeps one in pursuit of that which God comprehended him for, let that fire take over your life. You are blessed. You are separated.
You are separated. You are separated unto the higher calling. You are separated unto the higher calling. Any, come on, I won't lay my hands on you. I don't know why, but just come on. I'll just lay my hands on you. You are separated unto the higher calling. You can go back, go back. You are separated unto the higher calling. Unto a higher calling. Separated for greater consecration. The hand of the Lord is upon you. As I lay my hands on any, I believe that the weight is a sign. The weight of God will come upon you. It will come upon your soul. The weight of God. It will come upon your soul. It will lock you in. And you will manifest His glory. Come on, give God a shout of praise.